Chapter 62. The Father Waits. "So Mam and the others are still alive?" I ask, when Olive finishes recounting what she experienced in the Demon King's mind. "We've been given lavish chambers to await preparation of our caravan home. The Damaji has put servants in the walls to spy on us, but Olive and Rojva's chokers keep us in a bubble of silence." Selen lays a hand over mine, as the thought takes root. Mam and Aunt Leisha ain't dead? Part of me refused to believe it was possible for them to die. But news they may still be out there is no easier to accept. "It stands to reason," Olive agrees. "The demon told me he was going to feed them to the hatchling queen, so she could absorb their power." "You cannot trust the word of the father of lies," Rojva says. "Maybe not," Olive agrees. "But I was in his head, if only for a second. I believe him. Master Harry used to say the best lies are always true," I say. "Aunt Leisha's prophecy was, the father waits below in darkness for his progeny to return." Thought it meant my dad, that he was still alive. But Ahman Jardir is my blood father, and your dad. Maybe the dice were trying to tell us he's waiting on a rescue. Olive sighs. "Core if I know, Darren. Creator is my witness. I've never had a throw of the dice make sense to me. Even in hindsight, I still don't entirely understand my own." "He'll be coming for us," I say. Just the memory of that creature makes my hands shake and my bladder tighten. "Mam says Alagai Ka can heal any injury just by dissipating and reforming. Didn't go to all this trouble to leave us free." "Aye," Olive says. "But by the next new moon, I mean for us to be safe in Everarm's bounty. A moon after that, on the hollow Greatwood, Alagai Ka won't have another chance to strike at us. And why bother when he knows we'll come to him? How? When we don't know where he is?" Selen asks. "But we do," I realise, as more of Leisha's prophecy becomes clear. "We've known all along where the mimic Neo Queen is. The city in the mountains." Olive nods. "Safehold." Out on the terrace, I am alone with my thoughts, or as close as can be. Sounds from all over reach my ears, as folk salvage what they can before moving to the holy city. After a time, they settle into a background din I can ignore. That is, until Arik comes and joins me. The Maja have not stripped him of his Sharun blacks, earned this time with blood and ichor. Even with his orange hair and pale skin, the armoured robes suit him. I don't turn from my view of the city, but Arik knows I sense him. "You didn't tell her the demon possessed me too." He's right. I left that part out when we filled Olive in on what happened after she left us to rejoin her unit. "Neither did Selen. Or your sister," I say. "Or you, for that matter." "Why?" Arik asks. "Was Aravan's betrayal any worse than mine?" "Ain't the creator, Arik," I shrug. "Not my place to judge. Demon didn't have you that long. Reckon it takes time to remodel someone's head." "It doesn't need to remodel to leave the door unlocked," Arik says. "I pushed you off that ledge. I couldn't control myself. Who knows what else I might do?" "Then why didn't you tell her?" I ask. "Because I am a coward who is not ready to die," Arik says. "Why didn't you?" I spit over the terrace rail. "Because we ain't cowards, Arik. Won't turn on my kin because I'm scared of something that might or might not have happened. If Alagai Ka's got your stones in a vice, I say we're better off killing him than you."